Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing really well. Also, Dave Hamilton, I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Awesome. It's great to have both of you here. And it's also great that we have Harry's as our sponsor this week. I love a good shave. We'll talk about them soon. But first, I want to talk about the Apple earnings report real quick.
Because they're doomed?
Yeah, they're clearly doomed.
Okay.
Yeah, so hold on.
And they're not selling watches, right?
Not a one.
Apparently not. Yeah, so Apple had $49.6 billion in revenue for the quarter. Earnings was $10.7 billion. They sold 47.5 million iPhones, 4.8 million Macs. So they overshot estimates from analysts on Macs, but came in 500,000 under on estimates for iPhones. And their stock dropped several points in after-hours trading, which is pretty much how the cycle goes. Mm-hmm. And it's creeping back up now. And Dave, you alluded to the other thing. Well, you didn't allude. You just came right out with it. Apple Watches. Yeah, so we've had these reports that saying Apple Watch sales have been declining steadily ever since the initial launch. So that would have been in April. And Tim Cook dropped a big surprise on us right at the end of the earnings report. And I think this is something he really wanted to make sure was said. So when they got to the end of the earnings report conference call and it hadn't been brought up yet, he just tossed it out. And this is where he said that Apple Watch sales were higher in June than they were in April and May, which means that instead of declining, sales have been increasing.
Which totally makes sense, right? Because they're actually available.
Because you can buy one now.
You can buy one now. Yeah, you're not just stuck with the, you know, the constrained pre-orders.
Right. Which sounds silly, but for people who don't remember, you could not walk into an Apple store and buy one until July. But in June, you were able to place an order and have that order show up at your house far, far sooner than people were who ordered on April 10th, I think. There were people who ordered the first day that you could go online and order an Apple Watch who weren't getting ship dates until sometime in July. So for a lot of people, the delay time, like a lot of people just held off. You know, I know a lot of people who said, I would get one, but I've heard you can't. So I'm going to wait until the stampede has subsided and then I'm going to be able to go get one. And I think that enough people sort of had that perception that it did, in fact, make a difference. And that's why in June, when people started seeing that the ship time was, you know, a day or two and then it would show up at your house, that it became a much more common thing for people to go, all right, I'll go get one of those. The thing is, we still don't know how many watches that is.
No, and they made it clear back in, I think it was even in the fall, right?
Yeah, it was last September.
Yeah, yeah, that they would not be divulging these numbers for competitive reasons.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it makes one of the things about it is that it makes it hard to use those numbers to point out how Apple is doing well. On the upside, it makes it harder for other people to come out and say that Apple is doomed because the watch is a failure. Because we don't know.
Although what they're saying is Apple isn't sharing the numbers, therefore they're bad, therefore Apple is doomed.
Right.
Well, what happens, and I mean, they have to, this can't be a surprise that the whole slice thing happened, right? That someone takes some data that they have, and I'm sure that this was not just conceived out of whole cloth, right? I mean, they took the data that they have and interpreted it. According to Apple, Slice interpreted it incorrectly, and unless Tim Cook was, you know, lying, and I believe that would mean committing securities fraud.
Yeah, that would be a federal crime, so yes. He's not right. Likely to do that.
Not likely, although his predecessor perhaps dipped his toe in those waters, we'll say unintentionally a few times, but But I agree with you. I don't think Tim Cook was intentionally lying yesterday. So it means that Slice's interpretations were wrong. And that's, you know, but Apple can't expect people not to, if Apple's not going to provide any information, people are going to take the information that is available and report it. Now, and maybe that means reporting it and interpreting it incorrectly, but it's certainly going to start a conversation.
Right.
Yes, it is. And here we are.
And yeah. Here we are.
So,
well, and here's the thing is that, you know, a lot of people are sort of shocked. Like, what do you mean Apple didn't announce any sort of watch numbers? And yet, once again, this is not an Apple innovation. Tell me how many Kindles Amazon sold last quarter.
I had a feeling right. You're going to go there.
Well, because I passed along the tweet from Harry McCracken and then said, when a company is reporting sales but not reporting numbers, we should have a unit for that. Let's call it a Kindle. And we've never known how many Kindles they sell. All we ever see is a graph, you know, on a slide that shows, like, this bar is 2 inches taller than the bar from before. Yay. Like, there's no context to any of the numbers we ever get from Amazon, ever. So if you really want to, you know, if you're really going to be surprised by that, then you don't follow many other companies because Amazon is huge and has never told us jack about the kind of hardware numbers that they have every quarter.
Well, keep in mind that the average Kindle user and the average iPhone, Mac, and Apple Watch user is not someone that follows that sort of thing closely. All they know is what gets dropped in their laps by the media. And in many cases, the media just rolls with the whole thing. Like in this case, well, Apple didn't give us the numbers.
Right.
And yeah, so it's unfortunate because now a lot of people that are watching the news are thinking Apple is trying to obscure the numbers so that they can make it sound better than it is for Apple Watch sales. But in fact, this is something Apple told us they were going to do well before they were even selling watches.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to give a perspective on the Mac number. I want to jump back a little bit. because a lot of people have been talking about, you know, the Mac is dead and all these things, but didn't we have like 4.5 million?
4.8 million.
Okay. Almost 5 million in a quarter, 3 months. So, I went looking for some other things that have sold, between four and a half and 5 million, anything in a quarter. And the best I could find was, the game, there's a game called Far Cry 4, and Far Cry 4 sold 7 million copies in 2 months. It was released late last year. So, and that's like the best any Far Cry game has ever done. Far Cry is a very popular series for people who don't necessarily play PlayStation games. But this is one that, and Xbox games, this is one that's a very big deal, the Far Cry series. And, their initial release was 4 million. So I thought that ultimately it ended up over that stretch of time being 7 million copies of that game. And that is a ridiculous number for a game. A lot of games don't do anything near that. So I just wanted to point that out as something, you know, like if you want to be a ridiculous success with a video game, it's 7 million copies. And that I think that was more than a quarter. So when you look at a number like 4.5 million in a quarter, it's not like Macs are dead. It's not like there's some sort of slump. You know, I know we're going to hear again for the next few days about the tragic tale of woe that is the iPad. And I feel like there are some other things that maybe we should be. You know, if you compare any of these numbers, which is something that, you know, a lot of us don't put a lot of stock in when it comes to declaring Apple dead. But if you're looking for things to compare to, there, you could do so much worse than selling 4.8 million of anything in 3 months.
Yeah, there you go.
Particularly 3 months that don't involve Christmas or Festivus, right, or whatever year-end Yuletide holiday that you choose to celebrate.
Right. Okay, I'm going to cut us off on this conversation, not because I don't want to continue it, but because there's more the stuff that I want to talk about. Also, Brian Chaffin and I are going to have a more in-depth discussion about Apple's earnings report this afternoon on Apple Context Machine. So if you want more of our thoughts and insights and reactions to the earnings report, be sure and check out today's episode. So that would be Wednesday, July 22nd episode of Apple Context Machine, because Brian and I, of course, will have plenty to say. All right. Now, I said we have a sponsor, and we do. It's Harry's, the razor company. And I've talked about how I love how close the shave is. And the funny thing is, what you guys don't see is that when I say that, I pat my cheeks. And I just kept thinking about how today I was thinking about how when I do that, I'm implying, at least to myself, that the only way to use these razors is for guys to shave their face. But these razors are so good, it doesn't matter what you want or need to shave, you can use them. So you don't have to buy a Harry's razor just because you're a guy and want to shave your face. They are actually really versatile. And
we have a lot of women Mac Geek Up listeners that use them to shave their legs and tell us it works great.
There you go.
And as a woman who has shaved legs, I would like to point out that one of the things I really enjoy about Harry's is that they don't make the bright pink handle or the purple handle with little flowers on it. Like, you can just get one that's a color. And like, if you want an orange one, if you want a dark blue one, it's just a color. And one of the other nice things about it is that if you are cohabitating with a person of the opposite sex, now you only have to buy one set of blades and everyone's happy. It's a good system.
Yeah, actually.
I'm just going to toss that up there.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah, and the blades that you're buying are like crazy good. And I'm very, very critical of razor blades, especially disposable blades. But I love the Harry's blades. I mean, they bought a factory in Germany to make their own blades. That's how serious they are about these.
The testament that I can give is that my wife can tell by simply touching my face whether I've shaved with a Harry's blade or not. And she prefers the Harry's blade, of course.
You know, I did a blind test with my girlfriend, and I shaved one half of my face with a not Harry's blade and the other half of my face with a Harry's blade, and she could tell instantly which side was which, and she preferred the Harry side as well. So there you go. Now, even better, you can get Harry's products for so cheap. The starter kit, the Truman kit, that's what I have, $15. And so that's a nice handle. Mine's silver, and you get a few blades, and you get shaving cream or shaving lotion with it, and the little cover that protects your blades when you're traveling. $15 for the whole kit. But because Harry loves all of us so much, they gave me a discount code that I can share with you, and that's TDO. So go to their website, harrys.com, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO. That's going to get you $5 off your starter kit. So it'll be $10 instead of $15, and it's delivered to your house, no shipping charges, which is totally awesome. So excellent, excellent products, far cheaper than you're going to get in a store, and then everyone's happy. And like Kelly said, it's like a universal product, only one set of blades to buy. So check them out, harrys.com, use the discount code TDO, and get yourself an awesome discount. All right, the other thing that I wanted to talk about, and Kelly, this is all your fault.
For once, I am pleased to bits to be responsible.
Okay.
I am happy to claim responsibility all over this.
So Kelly has been pushing me into adding more smart home-like devices, creating an automated home system in my apartment.
This has basically been harassment via text message. People, he says pushing, it's been more like dragging. Possibly kicking and screaming.
Okay.
You need this. It's awesome. it's going to be really cool. Watch this. Sending little videos via iMessage of like, look how awesome my lights are, that they shine automatically when I walk in the door. I never come home to an empty house that is dark. You really need to check this out. It is so amazing.
Yep. And you're absolutely right. And thank you for dragging me into the future. Okay, so here's what I did. Because of Kelly, I bought a Wemo smart switch. And I connected my window air conditioner to it.
And now, I just want to jump in here and point out, for people who aren't familiar with Wemo products, the Wemo switch is actually an outlet that you plug something into. It's not like a light switch like you think of. You push it one way and it turns on a light. You push it the other way, it turns off a light. This is actually just a simple little device, beige plastic power outlet. You plug it into a power outlet and it still has a plug in it. You plug your desired device into that, and then you can run it via a number of other things besides a standard issue light switch.
Right. So what I did, because I wanted to have better temperature control related to the air temperature outside, so I set up an if this, then that recipe to turn on the air conditioner when the outside temperature gets above 73 and turn it off when it drops below 73. And it works perfectly. But sometimes I want to turn the air conditioner on or off. Like if I'm recording, I typically have the air conditioner off. So
regardless of temperature.
Yeah, regardless of temperature. Using the Wemo app on my iPhone to do that is actually kind of a pain, because I have to do multiple taps just to be able to turn this off. I want to be able to just do a single tap. So what I did, and Kelly's going to detail this for you guys in an article, what I did was I used the Do button app for If This Then That. And I created a little Do button recipe that just toggles my Wemo switch on and off. And then I can use Do's Notification Center widget so that I have that button in Notification Center. Now all I have to do is swipe down on my home screen and then tap the switch button for my Wemo switch to turn it on or off. It's a beautiful thing, and it's like crazy simple to do. And now I've saved myself several steps just to turn on or off my air conditioner. And since the Wemo switch is internet enabled, I can turn my air conditioner on or off anywhere that I have at least a data signal, if not broadband Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So I can go anywhere in the world and control my air conditioner now.
Wow. Yeah. I understand all the moving parts here. It's the Do button. It's the Do button thing that adds this super level of convenience to it.
It's magic.
Yeah, yes. When IFTTT kind of blasted their app into many different pieces, the If app and the Do app, and the, I think there's an image related app too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Memory serves, right? Yep. I grokked the If app because that was like, yeah, okay, now I can manage my recipes and get notifications and all of that, which is great. But I did not grok this Do button thing was like, okay, that's sort of like a workflow kind of thing, but I didn't realize that you could let it live in your notification center, because now that's like...
Now
that's,
it's suddenly like a really magic. Useful app, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazingly useful. And the great thing about... Here's the great thing about everything that Jeff just did, is if you are a person who is new to home automation... Remember, Jeff hasn't been at this forever and spent, you know, countless weekends tweaking things and reconfiguring things like I do.
Right.
Because that's my idea of a good time, because I'm warped that way. Jeff hasn't spent a bunch of time having to do any of that. And so if you are a person who is maybe interested in some home automation, like, I would really like if this light came on when it got dark, you know, in the window, so that I know, you know, so I don't have to come home to an empty house that is also dark, or whatever it is that you want to do. There are some very basic things that you can hook up and do that other people have already done with If This Then That. And that's the thing that I really like to do, is I go browse the recipes. They call them channels. There's a channel for hue lights. There's a channel for Wemo switches. There's a channel for weather. There's a channel for ESPN. So if you're a sports person, there's a quick little ESPN channel you can do. And you can use all of these things to basically you're configuring the internet to do the work for you. So the internet will notice that it's dark and turn on that light for you. The internet, in Jeff's case, he's activated a weather channel, and the weather channel looks at a station in his area, whatever the weather station is that's closest to him, and uses that for its readings. I have an if this then that that uses the weather channel, and it texts me because I don't have an air conditioner. So it texts me when it's time to close the windows and when it's time to open the windows based on the temperature.
And yeah, I've got if doing that for me. I have a Netatmo weather station at my house, so I actually use the reading from that. But it's the same kind of thing. It tells me, yep, turn, close the windows, open the windows. And that was totally inspired by you. You didn't realize that you inspired me, of course, to do this. But you, while we were in Colorado, you were talking about, oh, there's the text. I need to open my windows or close my windows. And I thought, ah, I know how to live like this. So yeah, it's pretty good.
And that's awesome. So it's a very easy thing to set up. Like it's laid out very clearly on the webpage. It's a very easy thing to walk through. If you want to sit down and play with it on your phone, there's a variety of things that you can do there. If you have an Android device, there's some different things that you can set up. By virtue of having an Android device, there's things that it will do that sometimes an iOS app doesn't have the capability for. So there's some really interesting things that you can dig into there, and you don't have to be a super tech savvy person. You don't have to be somebody who spends a lot of time writing code. This isn't a super advanced thing, and that's what's great about if this then that. So I would encourage anybody, if you are interested in something like this, to think about if there's something that you plug into the wall that runs off electricity that maybe you would like to have a little bit different control over than just a switch or, you know, the power button. Maybe there's something else that you could do instead that would make that a little bit better. And if you sit down and think about it, like, it's going to be different for everybody. You know, mine is, I don't have an air conditioner, so I use the weather station for my windows. Jeff has an air conditioner, so he just sends it, you know, he eliminates the middleman and it goes right to the AC and kicks it on. So this is something that is absolutely possible for you guys to do. And I would like to find out what recipes you guys are using with if this, then that, even if they're not related to home automation. I would like to find out what you guys are doing that is very, very cool. And you can send that to us, and Jeff is going to tell you how.
Of course I am. Okay. So you can always leave comments in the show notes because we're always checking there. You can send an email to observations@macobserver.com, or if you're totally into the Tweety Box thing, then let us know on Twitter. That would be @TMO Daily. And we're out of time, guys.
I know. Yeah. But you said if this, then that, and I was off to the races.
I had a feeling you would be. Yeah. So, Kelly, Dave, thank you for joining me today.
Of course.
Pleasure.
And
I learned something. I mean, you know.
Isn't that awesome? You know, if we're not learning, we're not growing, and we're not living.
I'm with you. Hey.
Yeah. And Kelly, thank you for dragging me into the future.
It's pretty awesome here, isn't it?
Yeah, my new problem now is figuring out what I want to automate next. I just look at everything in my place, and I'm like, I know what I could hook up to that to automate it.
you will start thinking that way, Jeff. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It is happening. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hey, thank you to Harry's for being our sponsor today. Woo. Go to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO. Get $5 off that first order. So your starter kit's only going to be $10 instead of $15. That's so awesome. Thank you, Harry's. Listeners, thank you for joining us again today. And we'll see all of you again tomorrow.